Welcome back to Nota Bene, live from New York. We have returned in one piece from Dallas and Nate's first 2x2 for AIDS and art. What'd you think, Nate Freeman?
Oh my God. I mean, I don't even know where to start. I mean, first, Dallas is really, really firing on all cylinders right now. I mean, we can go into the details here, but it is just an incredible, incredible tapestry of private collections, public collections, museums out the wazoo, gallery shows,
art. Are gallery shows there?
Very small fires that show up.
Yeah. And now it's true. Missed it. And now, love it. And now, I didn't get over there. Yeah, so you came in a little bit later on Saturday, the day of the event. I had already shown off a little collection I've helped put together with a wonderful patron of the pod down there. Some folks actually started early morning with Barry's, with the Man of the Hour, and Posse, hit up that collection, raced over to the warehouse where Rashid gave a really nice talk. He was interviewed by Catherine Broadbeck, the Hoffman family curator, I think is her title. Maybe not. I'm pretty sure it is. And then we met, we basically then met up with you after that at the house of Marguerite Hoffman.
I dropped my bags off, went straight to Marguerite's house. One of the greatest houses probably in America. An unbelievable collection of art.
I mean, perhaps one of the most personal and intelligent collections of post-war and contemporary art I've ever viewed in a private home.
I know. It's just, it's not very often that you're in a private space like that, and every time you turn a corner, you're just awed. Because it's not just a Kippenberger, it is an incredible Kippenberger, you know? It's not just a Richter painting, it is the Richter. It's just, like, so, so mind-blowing.
It's not just a bourgeois, but the most perfect little bourgeois placed perfectly. Right. If you were to just list the names, it would seem like the names of kind of any kind of heavyweight collector that's somewhat academic and not just a big game hunter, although it has a lot of the big game names. But you're right, the selection of works is so personal and even idiosyncratic, but incredible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it has to be seen to believe, honestly, because, like, pictures don't do it justice. You have to be in that space. The space, they call it a guest house, but it's really just a private museum in the back of their normal house, and it is just stunning.
I think according to zoning, it actually is a guest house.
Okay, for zoning purposes, they call it that. I guess technically you could stay there, but it's just like I'd be way too intimidated. I was freaking the fuck out just filling my plate with brisket next to those Twombly's. Like, I couldn't handle that.
And Marguerite is also one of the kindest, most warm, and cool soul. She's also doing great work in the field of politics. And little known fact, in addition to her incredible collection of post-war and contemporary art, she's also a rabid collector, not a rabid, but a very deep collector and very knowledgeable about illustrated manuscripts.
Mm-hmm, that's true. I forgot about that, which is very, very fantastic.
One of the highlights for me was I caught you downstairs taking picture of and she has a room that usually has prints and multiples in it, including, I don't think, did we ever figure out who the artwork was by that just said lady?
I don't. It's so perfect. I feel dumb not knowing who it is. I honestly was going to ask Marguerite because I sent it to Lucy and I was like, I don't know who made this, but it's great. And friend of the pod, Olivier Babin, and friend of the pod, Mike Egan, both independently sent it to me. As if I
Oh, really?
It.
But neither of them knew who it was.
No, they didn't. And I meant to ask Marguerite. It wasn't on the list of works because it was just like a print.
I had a little lunch offsite. I didn't partake in the brisket. It's a great weekend they put together, but if you go on the kind of trail of collections and events, kind of the day and a half preceding, you end up kind of sitting and having meals with all the same people you're going to see that night. Mm-hmm. So I hightailed it out of there with a friend and with Alex Israel. We went to go to whatever the high-end version of Houston's that they have there, the RD Kitchen. Incredible. Just what
I'm
you need.
I'm so jealous.
One of the best groups in America.
We can get into this later, but I ate enough barbecue to last me for months and months.
Well, you had another barbecue meal. Was that afterwards? Was that the next day?
That was on Sunday before
we
left.
We'll get to that then.
It was, it still haunts my dreams.
And, I went home, had a little lay down, and then got into my tux. You were also wearing a bow tie, but I hear you had some help getting that put together for you.
I was just wandering the halls of the Jewel like a crazy person because I thought Mike Egan was going to tie my bow tie. He was occupied getting ready himself. And then all of a sudden I hear a nice English lilt coming out.
A plummy accent, one might say.
And it was the one and only Michael McCauley of Sotheby's. And because of his just, you know, incredible history, you know, he went to school, as they say, across the pond. He was able to tie my bow tie quite quickly, as if, you know,
this yeah, I mean, I can't believe you even had to ask him, do you know how? I mean, he must have given you a nice, nice guy, but I would, if I were him, I would have given you a withering look, like, have you heard the way I speak? I mean, come on. Of course I can tie
exactly.
a bow tie.
Of course I can tie a bow tie. And he tied it quite well. So thank you, Michael, for that. That really coming in to my need.
And what about the event itself? You would, this was like my 15th, I think, 2x2. You had never been. What? Tell me about your experience walking in there. What was it like for you?
I mean, it's interesting going to something that you've heard about so many times, you've seen pictures, you know, but of course it can't really put together in your brain an accurate picture of what the thing is. And the entire sort of sensory overload of the size of this temporary geodesic dome that they've erected on this incredible lawn with the Robert Irwin, and then the Richard Meier house in the background, just, you know, stunning modernist house, combined with, you know, everyone you know from the global art world and all these insanely wealthy, well-dressed Texans having the time of their lives. The collision of these things is something that it's hard to really put into words.
It really is. I mean, the diamonds glitter in that tent over that dinner unlike any room I personally have ever been in.
So
these ladies have some rocks, son.
I mean, there's just nothing, you know, nothing compares to the size of things in Dallas, Texas. And, you know, that energy is just impossible to replicate anywhere else.
And we had quite a musical. So you filter through the house. It's really chock-a-block full of art. It's beautiful, minimalist, modern house is overstuffed with pictures, great and small. And then they shepherd you to dinner. Did you have some tequilas before dinner, or did you go for the martinis?
I had a little bit of the Casa Dragones tequila that was on offer.
The official tequila of Nota Bene, I think we'd have to say.
It may as well be. It's not a tequila that I can just you know, take off the rack and buy for myself. I mean, it could, but it's kind of breaking the bank to do that on my salary.
Yeah, but you'd be eating peanut butter and sugar sandwiches for the rest
exactly.
of the month.
Exactly. So when it is very graciously offered, I find it hard to drink anything else.
It would be
else.
Rude not to drink it, I think, copiously, I would say.
I enjoy drinking it the way that it's supposed to be drank, which is out of a champagne glass, not even a rocks glass, not even, you know, any whisper of any kind of mixer or fruit or ice cube, just the stuff.
And they had the Diet Coke on tap for me. I was like, keep it coming. You know what? I'm not driving tonight. It's all good. So they shepherd you into the lavish tent, which, as Howard mentioned in our interview with him in the last pod, is owned by the 2x2 organization, I guess. Or maybe it's by Howard and Sydney personally. In any case, at the same time, but Todd from something design group like does it in a crazy way each year. Always looks different. Tables are always like different arrangements. You had quite an interesting table you were seated at. Who else was sitting with you?
Well, incidentally, it's going to sound like they're paying for this podcast, but they're really not. The founder of Casa Dragones, Berta, was at my table along with a new friend of mine, and I would like to say a friend of the pod, the famous chef Thomas Keller.
Was that? Whoa, Thomas Keller, in effect.
Of French Laundry and per se fame. I think that he'll definitely come on the podcast. I mean,
Did you bring it up with him?
Fuck yeah, of course. That was the first thing I asked him. Like, he introduced himself, he said, "Hi, I'm Thomas Keller." I said, "Hi, I'm Nate Freeman. Love to have you on Unknown Event." It wasn't the first thing I said, but I definitely got to it at some
point. Okay, yeah, I mean, it's a long night. You had a lot of conversation to fill. Now, did you mention the fact that you had recently written a story in the Vanity Fair magazine about another restaurant group?
No, I didn't, because I didn't know if they had any sort of connection. You know, I did
talk
to... Or
if they had beef or not, like you didn't know.
Right, right. I mean, right. I talked to a bunch of famous chefs for that story that I knew had some kind of connection to Mario. Like, you know, my good pal Danielle Boulud. But I didn't see any connection to Thomas, so I kind of let it go. He's also got a restaurant in Miami that is ostensibly a Carbone competitor, the Surf Club.
Yeah, I mean, they're real different people, too, shall we say. That's a cool seating for you.
Thomas
Keller.
I know. Legend. It was so sick. Legend. Legend.
You know, he shows up every year. He's close with the Wachowskis, from what I understand. You know, they spend a lot of time in Napa, and they're homies.
Wonderful.
And the I'm not sure the first course, the caviar course, was actually sponsored by and by Thomas Keller's caviar brand. I forget the name.
This is true. I can't remember the name as well, but caviar was great. They're clearly
it always hits, bro. It always hits. We'll get to more caviar in a bit, but you know, this is kind of a warm, kind of caviar Caspar-esque potato souffle kind of situation. It was good. The food was surprisingly good for a benefit, right?
I thought that the steak was excellent. It was like very fucking wagyu-y, like really crazy steak.
Yeah, some of the Texans at my table were like a little bit. They were a little bit like.
It was a wild steak. It was not your typical.
It was super fatty cut that had been sous vide and I think seared off with a torch. I loved it. I was like, whoa. Yeah. Can I have some more?
Yeah, I totally loved it. But
did you switch over? Did you switch over to wine at any point during the dinner service?
Oh, I sampled some of the wines. I mean, I'm not the fucking oenophile that you need on this podcast to talk about those wines. They were good.
They were good. I'm just wondering because I didn't sample them.
I can't speak to like their nose or whatever the fuck that the people talk about.
But they kept them coming. Like they kept them coming.
Oh yeah, no. I mean, they looked fucking expensive.
They got everyone good and loosened up for the musical performance. Who is performing, Nate?
Nile Rodgers and his band Chic.
I didn't realize who this was. Alex Logsdale, who was down for the event, was very excited in the days preceding that Nile Rodgers was going to perform. I was like, what? Who? You were also pretty pumped for it, as I recall. Mm-hmm. And Nile's delivered, man. Raised the fucking roof in there.
I know. I mean, he has a really inspiring story. He was diagnosed with cancer a little over a decade ago. And our French pals in Daft Punk heard about that as they were making a disco record, brought him on to play guitar in a few songs, one of which was the smash hit of 20 fucking years at 13, Get Lucky.
I just remember blasting that over and over again in a hotel suite in Mexico City during the opening of Eugenio Lopez's UMEX collection.
Wow.
That's on repeat over and over again.
That's mildly terrifying.
Shout out to my German and Italian friends.
I would say I wish I were there, but honestly, I don't think it is.
That's pretty good. I mean, speaking of wild times, people got loose in there, man. I had some conversations with people whose eyes were rattling around in their brains, man.
I know. I mean, this was a fucking event. And like,
I mean, you have like Jerry Jones there, and then you have like wild art collectors and art people. It's really crazy.
I know. I hope Jerry made it to the start of the game at noon the next day. The game of the team.
I saw him leaving in a reasonable hour. I saw him hugging Rashid on his way out.
That's so sick.
Which is, I thought, super sick.
I didn't get a chance to speak with Mr. Jones. I was certainly planning on it because I wanted to ask him if I can get tickets to the game. But
you should ask Nancy, man. Nancy has like one of the most baller suites.
Yeah, I should have asked Nancy. Yeah.
Nancy Rogers was like, she was bedeckled in diamonds. She looked absolutely fantastic. Had a super fun table. There was a really fun sax table. I guess they had flown people in on the sax, on air sax. So they had some fashion designers I had never heard of, but they were going buck wild, especially during the musical performances. And then we got to a focus on the art. We had Michael McCauley, who ties your tie, also gave, and I know we're just lavishing praise on the entire event, but like Michael knocked it out of the park. He just crushed it for a charity auctioneer.
Yeah, totally. I mean, like, you know, I think this happens every year, but the stuff went for absolutely bonkers.
Yeah, but never mind. The results were bonkers, but he just really controlled that room, just the right amount of humor. It's always funny because he's got two very experienced bid spotters helping him out, one Howard Rachofsky and John Runyon, a Dallas-based art advisor. And, the star lot, the man of the hour, Rashid, who gave a really touching speech, went for $1.75 million.
Amazing. Just incredible.
Do you know who bought it?
It was someone on the phone with a Sotheby's representative.
Okay. That's just making sure. It wasn't anyone in the room. No. I was really happy to be involved in underbidding it.
Yes, I noticed.
A little nervous as it got very north there.
Yeah, I noticed that.
I was a little bit sweating in my, sweating in my seat. But
that's a lot of dineros.
But for a great artwork, and you can't just pick them up. So, and then, you know, go from that, go from confetti and auction, then I'm not sure how much you stayed for inside. Did you follow Howard around at all? He likes to close out each individual lot in the silent auction.
I saw him start to do that, but then I had to peel off and head back to to home, but I did see him start to do it. It was quite amazing to see him.
Super amusing. I'm always super amused by it. They're just so passionate about raising money. They raised over $9 million, 9.2, I think.
Yeah.
Is the number that is rattling in my fairly empty head.
Truly amazing.
Truly incredible. I'm not sure if you made it to the after party. I kind of leaked down there. People were going nuts for some DJ in the back. And then sponsored courtesy of Nancy Rogers, they were passing out kind of those stumpy martini glasses. You know, the martini glasses without the stem. Mm-hmm. Full of tater tots, creme fraiche, and gobs of caviar.
Amazing. I
wolfed down. I didn't have any dessert. I wolfed down two of those babies, and then it was like I'd done the entire auction with Howard. This is like 1 a.m. I'm like, guess what? I'm out of here.
That's great.
And peaced out. So as your first time, like as someone who is, I mean, I don't mean this in a cruel way. I would say you're in some ways a professional party goer to a professional benefit attendee. You attend an awful lot, way more than I do. Where does this rank? I mean, have you been? Is this pretty top tier, right?
I mean, yeah, I guess I've been to a lot of benefits. I mean, the thing about it is that, you know, go to benefits in New York, they're hard to really be that distinct. You know, I've gone to some benefits in Los Angeles that you know are pretty over the top because they got tons of movie stars and shit.
Is this like art? Because art and film. Have you been to that one?
No, I've not actually been to that one, but you know, I've been to ones adjacent to it, and you know, the Hammer or the Mocha Gala, like, you know, they get a lot of movie stars, and that's exciting. But you know, that's its own thing. And in New York, you know, you have the Champions of Industry. I think, you know, there are probably rooms in New York where the collective net worth dwarfs that of 2x2.
A little bit of math at my table because I was sitting someone who knows the families of Dallas, mm-hmm. and he counted of people he had seen six members of billionaire families,
okay.
plus several other, you know, 10 or 12 other people that are in the hundreds of millions of dollars of net worth.
Mm-hmm.
I forget what we came to as our total, but including Jerry, because like, what are the Cowboys worth? Whatever someone's willing to pay, $10 billion.
Right.
You know, we're looking at close to $25 to $30 billion worth of value in that room.
Well, I mean, that's pretty remarkable, and that's pretty difficult.
Insane, right? Anyway. Absolutely insane.
I think that the main takeaway of a 2x2 is that, yeah, you have this incredibly, you know, energetic, you know, sort of independent-minded Dallas collector base that is so psyched for this event. They've been looking forward to it all year long. And like, they are all collectively just fascinating, brilliant, very cool, very awesome people. And then you really have like a lot of people from the art world who wouldn't necessarily go to benefits. Art dealers, artists, you know, you go to a benefits, usually, you know, the board members and other collectors. And, you know, this really puts an emphasis on the galleries that donate work. And because there's so many galleries that donate work, you have an incredible cross-section of the global art world. So that was really cool. I don't really know how to just compare it to
maybe other galleries. Maybe they shouldn't be compared. Maybe it's incomparable.
It's its own thing. I mean, like, it's just something that, yeah.
I will say a number of dealers looked very tired. They had done London and Paris and flown mm-hmm. directly from Paris to Dallas. I feel like, you know, with the rise of Paris Plus, I think there might be a little bit more space in between these events next year. Stay tuned, but I think there's going to be a little bit more breathing room. Anyway, that was that. I was really glad to have you down there. Super, mm-hmm. super fun. But you, the night before, had attended one of the, I think, one of the most important art openings and dinners in New York this season.
I know. I mean, like, that's the thing about what's so crazy about the timing of 2x2 is that, like, New York and London and Paris and LA are all fucking popping off right now. So, like, the fact that so many people got to Dallas at all is shocking. Because, yeah, I mean, like, just, you know, hours before 2x2 in New York City, there was the opening for Alex Katz's show at the Guggenheim, which is such a spectacular show. I mean, it's a must-see. It's really just jaw-droppingly beautiful. And the number of artists that showed up for the dinner, which was at this great old French restaurant, Orsay, I don't know if you're familiar as an up.
Oh, yeah, I've been to some art dinners there, and I've even camped out at the bar on a number of occasions.
It's a great spot, and I mean, I have a list, a partial list of artists who were there to celebrate the maestro, 95-year-old Alex Katz. I saw David Sally, Louise Lawler, Dana Schutz, who's a big fan of the pod, thanks to Dana, Arthur Jaffa, Harold Encart, Jamie and Giuliano Villani, Josh Smith, Spencer Sweeney, Nate Lohman, Jack Pearson, Shirin Nashat, Rachel Rose, Ian Chang, Stanley Whitney, Eric Mack, Chase Hall, Jordan Castile. The list goes on. I mean, there are so many other
incredible intergenerational and intermediate list. I know.
The diversity in ages and like eras of those artists is so wild, and it's just a testament to Kat.
Well, you know, Alex, in addition to being an incredible artist, has been very supportive of young artists by buying mm-hmm. the work and donating it directly to museums over the years.
Exactly.
Through his foundation, which is incredible. I couldn't be there because I had to be in Dallas that night and getting ready, but I saw an incredible video of Gavin walking Alex down the rotunda mm-hmm. of the Guggenheim, and people just coming to the edge and all up and down that incredible Frank Gehry building applauding for him. And even just talking about it now, I'm getting teary in my eyes. It was such a beautiful moment.
I mean, I was there watching that happen, and it was a really incredible, heartrending moment because, you know, Gavin and Alex, who was resplendent in this incredible suit, just commanded the attention of the entire Guggenheim, all the way up, and everyone there, the thousands of people who were there at the opening, just stopped and applauded and started screaming and yelling, and it had this amazing energy. And I think that video that I've seen as well does do a great job of summing that up, but being there was really special.
Yeah, that feels really special. In fact, we're just going to have to end it there because I can't think of anything worth talking. I just want to leave people with that memory and that vision in their mm-hmm. heads.
But we'll be back with another edition later this week, I believe.
We're meeting up in our nation's capital, mm-hmm. your homeland, the DMV area.
And, going back to the homeland.
Going to check out the opening of the new Rubel Museum in Washington, D.C.
One of the biggest things to happen in the D.C. art world, probably since the opening of Glenstone. Really, yeah,
Definitely. We'll meet up there. Unfortunately, can't travel together. You have to go down early, and mm-hmm. I'm showing up a little bit late, but via a very comfortable means of transport. And we'll catch up there and hopefully have a chance to sit down with...
What, something better than the Acela, Ben?
Just un petit peu. All right, that's it. I'm going to cut it off there before I say something I shouldn't. Thanks for listening. I'll talk to you later, Nate. I'll see you tomorrow.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye.